You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
It is such a joy to be here with all of you. And Pastor Landon and Heather are the most incredible pastors, and I've just so enjoyed connecting with them and being with them. He shares as if I've done so much, but really every single time I'm around him, I feel like he's depositing in me and Bridget, and we just love being around him. You guys have a phenomenal pastor. He is awesome. I've learned a ton from him, and I am excited for him, and this building is incredible, this miracle building. So what an amazing thing God is doing here. It is incredible. I have watched the way that Mercy Culture has grown, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting to see what God's doing here. But Pastor Landon and Heather have just done such an amazing job with you, and I love the way that he has shepherded you guys. So, yes. So let me tell you a little bit about me. As he said, I am an executive pastor at Gateway Church. I oversee the ministries there. My beautiful, amazing wife is here with me today, Bridget Morris. So say hi. I am what I am today because of her, and so I'm very, very grateful for Bridget. We have three kids, Parker, Mitchell, and Bray. Parker is 8 years old. Mitchell is 6 years old. We just had like a round of birthdays in October, so I have to make sure I get it right. Parker's 8, Mitchell's 6, and then our little girl, Bray, is 4 years old. So Parker, Mitchell, and Bray. They are not here with us today. They're at Nana's house, with Nana. So that's Bridget's mom, is Nana. So Nana's watching the kids for us today. Our family lives outside city limits, out on a little farm. We have some cows, we have a bunch of chickens, we have some geese, we have two dogs, guardian shepherd dogs, and one is named Blue, the other one is named Belle, so together we got Bluebell. So that's our lifestyle now, is pastoring and living on a farm, and it's fun, it fits us. There was a day that I think I realized, you know, I think we're the type of people that belong on land more than inside the city. And that was a significant moment. And so it's always been a dream for us to be living out on land, taking care of animals and all that. But in our last house, we lived in a subdivision with all the houses were very close together. And in our house, on the left side of the house, was about maybe 10 feet until the next door neighbor's house. Our house was a little elevated, and then the other house was down, so then the fence was on his property, so he had a perfect view of our little area right there, and I turned that into the chicken run. So the chicken run is just simply a place for chickens to hang out, and that's what, then there's a little egg laying box and all that, so those that are not around chicken runs is just a place for them to run, I guess. So we fenced in the side of the house and kept the chickens there. Once again, we were elevated, and their backyard looked right into ours. If any of you are into chicken trivia, then the way chickens work is that if there is more daylight, then they'll lay more eggs. And so at night, and it was a time like this when it starts getting darker earlier, so we lined that area with a bunch, like a strand of spotlights, so it would keep that area lit, that way they would continue to lay eggs. So our neighbors has the perfect view because he's actually on a corner lot, so his backyard faces directly onto this side of the yard with all the chickens. So one night I decided I needed to go get the eggs, and I had not gotten the eggs that day, and it was dark, and so, but it was very well lit right there. But our neighbors had actually sold the house, new neighbors had bought it, but they were remodeling it. And so I had not seen them. It had been months. I just assumed they're never going to move in. I just got used to not having neighbors, and I loved it. So that evening, I had already made myself rather comfortable, and I was only wearing my boxers. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, it's time to go get the eggs. So I slipped on my boots, marched right out there. And I'm sitting there now getting the eggs out of the egg laying boxes when I hear a back door open and realize this entire family has walked out with their kids and their guest. So here I am in just boots and comfortable boxers and hiding like this behind this egg laying box thinking, oh no. Lord, please, Lord, just send them back inside. I'll do this. I won't do this anymore, Lord. I'll just, Lord, send them back inside. Lord, allow them to all need drinks immediately, Lord. Send them inside. And they weren't going inside. So here I am laying down next to all the chickens while they're wondering what I'm doing in their area, waiting for them to go inside, and they're not going inside. And, I mean, I'm right next to them. I mean, like, they are just right there. I can hear their conversations. And that's not the way you want to meet your new neighbors. You don't want to step up like, hey, how are you guys doing? I love what you've done with the place. And just like chill and relax. And they're like, the remodels really turned out good, don't you think? So you don't want to be that guy. So then I thought, you know, I'm just going to sneak out, slither over the fence, drop down, run across the front yard, and then back around and go back inside. So this was my plan, is to do this. But something else about our house is there's always that house in the neighborhood where all the kids in the whole neighborhood like to play. So our street will fill up right in front of our house with kids loving to play. So it would fill up with kids. Parents would often bring lawn chairs set like on the sidewalk or just hang out there. And so I could hear all the kids playing outside this night. But I was like, it's dark. Nobody's gonna see me. I'm gonna make a run for it. So here I am, army crawling through the chicken poop, over the fence, drop down, and take off doing a full speed run in my boots, in my egg basket. That's about it. And I'm sprinting. What I did not think about is that I have four motion lights on the front of the house. So all of a sudden, boof, boof, boof. And I think everyone's like, what was, watching me. And so all of a sudden I run inside and Bridget can see I'm out of breath, a little frantic, frazzled. And she was like, are you okay? And this was my response. We got to move. It's time to get out of here. Because nobody wants to be that guy that the whole neighborhood is talking about. You don't want to get the HOA letters. Mr. Morris, please wear your pants when you're outside. There's kids out there. So that was me, and now we have some land, and it's just us and some cows and chickens, and it's a beautiful thing. We belong there, so it fits us well. So with that said, the title of the message is, Don't Flatter Yourself. And with that, we are going to be talking about honor today. And I know Pastor Landon is in a series of Blessable, that there are certain things that God blesses. And honor is one of those things that God blesses. And God blesses those that honor. And so we're gonna be talking about honor. And actually, he shared with me that he had actually recently preached on honor. And I thought, oh no, maybe not. What do I do? And he said, no, this is actually one of our core principles here at Mercy Culture. I want you to preach on honor. So I went back, I listened to his message, and it was phenomenal. He did an incredible job. So I'm going to speak on honor, but from a little different angle to share some different, a different angle of honor, but with the same heart, the same perspective. And so I'm excited to bring this to you today. And with that, 1 Corinthians, we're going to end up in 1 Corinthians, but that was really the inspiration of this message. And in the end, I'll kind of tie in of how that connects. But number one is don't flatter. So I've got 3 points today. Number one is don't flatter. So Parker, who's now 8, he's our oldest. He was maybe 3 or 4 years old. We were at Gateway Church and sitting right on the front row. And Parker was there. And all of a sudden the service kind of got to a little quieter moment. Parker stands up on the chair, stomped his foot, puts his hand over his mouth and yells, boring. Everybody heard it. It was the reason why he's not here. He's with Nana today. I wasn't sure if I was ready for that yet. So it would hurt my feelings if it did that while I was preaching. But there's a kid that does not worry about flattering somebody. But what it is flattering actually starts developing in people as they grow. And we are not called to live in a world of flattery. We're called to live in a world of honor. But oftentimes we see flattery. We see people flattering somebody because of something that they want or something that they're trying to get or achieve. So what is flattery? Flattery is worshiping another person for your own personal gain. It's actually worshiping somebody else and praising them, but for your own personal gain. And potentially, it's just to be liked. Maybe it's for a job. Maybe it's to get something. Maybe it's to get a good loan or to get a sale or whatever it is. But it's worshiping another for your own personal gain. Proverbs 20 verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." Proverbs 26, 28 says, "A flattering mouth works ruin." And then 28, 23 says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with his tongue." We are not to be people of flattery. I told you I work at Gateway. I was working with two employees that they had a little disagreement with one another. And they were both sharing their story with me. And one of them said, "You know, I called this meeting. I sat down with this person. I went over all these different things. And at the end of the meeting, I said, was this meeting beneficial to you?" The other employee just sat there in silence. And it was like probably 3 or 4 seconds, but felt like a minute. And then said, "Nope." Well, and they said, "Well, couldn't they have just at least flattered me?" But see, we are used to living in a world of flattery, that we want people to flatter us at times. Now, the other guy, he probably should have been more gentle, kind, rather than just saying, "No, this was completely a waste of my time." But we are used to receiving and wanting flattery and also giving flattery. But we're not to be giving flattery. Flattery is not a skill set. It's not like, "Oh, I'm going to grow in this flattery so that I can do this." It's not a skill set. But Adam used to always tell me, you know, oftentimes, and talk about flattery or whatever, but anytime you're looking for promotion, I just want to say flattery is not the way of doing it. He's always told me, you know, you don't ever want man to promote you, because then man can take you out of that position. But if God promotes you, then only God can take you out of that position. We're not looking to man for our solution. We're looking to God for our solution. We're not trying to manipulate or get something out of someone in order to get something. But we're looking to God saying, "God, I just want to be faithful. Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to be faithful. And I want to just my actions to represent you well." So number one is don't flatter. Number two is to speak truth. Whoops. I'm done with that page. Is to speak truth. So I want to tell you a story that really affected me. It kind of changed my thinking in this area. The problem is I don't exactly remember all the details. So the last thing I want to do is say, "Hey, the next point is speak truth," and then say something that's not fully true. So one of you guys might have heard this story, and I think it's in an audiobook. I've tried to go back and find it, but I can't find it. And so give me some grace on this, but I'm going to tell you the parts that really changed me. And that is, there was a guy that was a cab driver, and then there was this evangelist. And this evangelist got in the car with this cab driver and starts witnessing to him and starts telling him about Jesus and sharing with him. This cab driver had a very different belief and a very different religion than this. And so the evangelist is sharing with him. It's not going great, but then the cab driver said, "Listen, isn't it in y'all's book," meaning the Bible, "isn't it in y'all's book to tell the truth?" He said, "Well, yes, it is." He said, "You know, I drive around Christians all the time, and they seem to be the least honest people I drive." When I heard that, I thought, I never want that to be me. I never want my testimony to be weakened because of that. I want to be known as somebody that tells the truth. I want it to be diligent to always speak the truth. Whether it is easy or hard at times, I just want to be known as somebody that tells the truth. And even, like, I used to be very sarcastic. And I just thought, you know, I probably should even change some of that. I probably don't need to be sarcastic. And I started allowing that story to change who I was and how I told things and the way I did it. And so we are called to be people of truth. Colossians 3 verses 9 says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." We are called to tell the truth, but we're not to tell a lie, but it's because we've put on a new man. If anybody says anything about Christians, be like, man, those are the most honest people I've ever met. Those people, they are so honest. And so that should be us. We should be people of honesty and speaking the truth. I told you we live on a farm and we grow a lot of food in a garden. And so this last summer we planted a lot of tomato plants. Well, when you plant a lot of tomato plants, you get a lot of tomatoes. That's fact. And so we planted a lot of tomato plants and got a whole lot of tomatoes. And really, you start realizing there's only so many tomatoes you can eat in one day. Like, you just don't want to eat too many tomatoes. And so we got creative with it. And we started doing different things with our tomatoes. And Bridget and I, started making our own ketchup. So we started making our own ketchup. And I think we mastered the recipe eventually. That it was great. It was really good. And my dad was over, and something about my dad is he loves ketchup. So I was like, "Dad, you got to try our new ketchup. We made it ourselves, organic. It's wonderful. You're gonna love it." So he goes and he's semi-excited. He tastes it. That's something. Yeah, that's something, James. That's terrible. This is horrible. And I was like, "What? We made this. We made this with our own bare hands." But I was grateful he told me the truth. So then actually a couple days later, I thought I needed some ketchup. I used that same ketchup. Oh my goodness, it was disgusting. Terrible ketchup. I couldn't believe how bad it was. But what I realized is we had made a whole lot of batches. And I thought we had thrown this batch away because we attempted to make one healthy version of ketchup with no sugar or anything in it. That was this batch. But I thought about it like, man, I'm glad my dad just told me the truth, though, versus just, "Oh, yeah, no, James, this is good. Can I have the Heinz, though?" Like, he was honest with us. And as believers, we can be honest with people and speak truth. And whenever I'm talking about speaking truth, we can take this too far, and we can make this concept to believe that speaking truth means speaking the first thing that comes to your mind. That's dangerous. That's not wisdom to just, "Oh, that came to my mind, I'm speaking it." That's truth. We should actually be careful with our words, and we should steward our words, but we should be careful with our words. There was a guy that I really looked up to, and he had this ranch. And my dad and brother and all of us went out there. I was probably like 12 years old. And this was just a big guy that did fun things and kind of a little silly, but he just had a big personality. And I remember we went into town and into a gas station, convenience store. I went in ahead of them, and I was inside this store. And there was this guy behind the cash register wearing a very interesting shirt that you wouldn't see typically. And this guy with the big personality just comes in, swings open the door. It has the cowbell on it and makes this obvious scene where everyone looks up. And the first thing he does is he looked at that shirt and goes, "Wow, is that back in style already?" That's not processing what you're saying. It's not being kind. It's not being gentle. We are to be kind and gentle with our words. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love." Anytime we're speaking truth, it should be in love. There's a reason for every word that we should be speaking, and that is love. We should be motivated and prompted to share truth, but out of love. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight." We need to be truthful. I find it interesting that sometimes we will lie, but we have the best excuses for lying at times. And sometimes we'll call them like a white lie. Like, oh, no, that's just a little white lie. As if it like, that's just a little sweet thing I'm doing. That's like a little angel lie. That lie has its own little halo. That's fine. That's a good thing. But people will ask us something. We'll just, that's fine. I just lie. That's just a simple lie. But it's our word. And we're called to speak truth. And we have a duty because we have put on a new man to speak truth. But you do it with love. You're not harsh. So if your spouse asks you, do these jeans make me look a little too big? And any of you give a harsh answer, you better not blame me for it. Because I've got a different sermon for that. But we speak love and gentleness and kindness to every person. And so we are gentle and sweet in the way that we do things. So let me share with you the why behind speaking truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Jesus says, I am not a little truth. I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. I wouldn't want to have told so many lies, so many white lies, whatever it is, that whenever I tell people about the ultimate truth, I'm not believed. If you want to strengthen your witness, then strengthen your words with truth. If you're going to tell people about the ultimate truth, which is Jesus Christ, you better be telling people about truth first. You tell about truth so that people will believe you when you tell people about the ultimate truth, which is Jesus. If I were to share a testimony with somebody, or if you were to share a testimony with somebody, or tell them about Jesus, then you would want them to say, you know what, that even whenever that testimony was told, it just seems a little hard to believe. But you know what, I have never, ever known that person to lie to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my trust in this guy. I'm going to give it a shot because that guy has never lied to me. That girl has never lied to me. And so I'm going to take him up for it. I'm going to believe them. But if they don't believe you, then how will we tell them about the ultimate truth? The truth. When Jesus is the truth. So let's tell the truth, and it will strengthen our witness. It will strengthen our testimony because we will be people of truth telling about the truth. So number one is to not flatter. Number two is to speak truth. And number three is to honor. So what is honor? Honor is to respect. Honor is to esteem. And so I know we don't use the word esteem, but whenever you look up honor, it'll say to esteem. And you're not like, wow, I really esteem my morning coffee. You're like, it's just not a word that we typically use in our vocabulary very often. To esteem something. But to esteem something means to place value on. And so when we honor someone or something, we have placed value on that. We have placed value on that relationship. We have placed value on that person. And so we get to honor people by placing value on them. If I was sitting down and somebody was giving me investment advice, and their name was Warren Buffett, then I would probably esteem that more because he's known for that. And so I would esteem it. I would place more value on what he told me, right? So to honor someone is to place value on them. So let me ask you, who do we need to honor? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. That's who to honor. All people. We are to honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. But we are to honor everybody because everybody is made in the image of God. Because God died for Jesus died for everybody. And so there is a necessary honor that is due to them. Whenever you see somebody that no matter what level they are on the economic scale, no matter what they who they are, whatever, they deserve honor. And we should honor them because they're part of all people. So let's honor all people. But there are some people that the Bible actually talks about giving more honor to. So let's look at an example of that, that there's some people that need more honor or double honor. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the words and word and doctrine." So some people actually, we're to place more honor on them. God's called us to place more honor. And it's throughout Scripture, different people that God identifies of placing more honor. Spiritual leaders, our government, our authorities, widows, our spouses, we're supposed to place more honor on them. Jews, older people, there's a lot of Scripture on giving honor to our father and mother. And we're supposed to honor our father and mother. That's spoken like a true father and mother right there. Yes! But we are to honor our father and mother. And then the ultimate honor that is talked about in the Bible is to honor God. That we are to honor the Lord, meaning we have really placed value on the Lord, on our time with the Lord. But really, we're supposed to honor everyone. But whenever we honor our parents, that could look a little bit different in some ways. And we may, I think Pastor Landon hit on this when he talked about honor. As a kid, you obey your parents. As an adult, you honor your parents. And you might say, you know, that's really hard. I wrestle with that because what if they're not a believer? Well, you can still honor them. And so even if it was something like you go to them and you're asking for advice, asking for advice on something is a way to honor people. And doesn't mean that you have to do it exactly, but I really think you should value that opinion because you've placed value and honor on them. And then you and your spouse may go off and you may pray about it and God may say, yes, do that. Or he may say, no, let's not do that. But then you can go back to them and say, I really appreciate you giving me that input. Thank you. We've really prayed about it. We've talked about it. We still feel like God's telling us to do this, but thank you so much for that input. You can give them honor. And you can bless them with honor by giving them honor. So I mentioned to you that 1 Corinthians was kind of my inspiration for this sermon. And it's because whenever you look at 1 Corinthians, it's Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And he is about to just speak so much truth to these people. One truth after the next after the next. And he actually does, this is a very similar model whenever you look in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Philemon and Timothy, that this is kind of the format that he does, is he speaks a lot of truth, but before he does that, he honors them. It's not flattery, it's honoring them. So let me just share this with you. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 says, "I thank my God always concerning you, for the grace of God, which is given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's about to share a lot of truth. He does it in a beautiful model of balancing grace and truth, of being very truthful, but in a loving way. But before he does that, he honors them. But here's what I find unique about the style of honoring. And I think we can do this with everyone, is he's not looking at their actions and giving honor based off of that. He's not saying, you know, I really appreciate this action about you. But what he does is he says, you know what? I thank God for you. When I think about you, joy rises up in me, and I rejoice about you. I rejoice what God's doing in this place. I rejoice what God's doing in this place. And here's the secret. Whenever you need to honor somebody, you need to look at them and see how is it that God sees them. And when you see how God sees them, it will change your perspective on how to give proper honor. And so that's what Paul's doing here, is he's thinking, Lord, I just want to, before I even write any of this stuff, Lord, thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you I get to be a part. Lord, thank you that they are committed to serving you. Yeah, we all mess up. We all have mistakes. But Lord, their heart is for you. And so whenever you're needing to honor somebody, take a moment. Say, Lord, how do you see this person? Help me to honor this person. But Lord, how do you see them? You love them. You gave your son for them. And even with looking at honor and authority, we can sometimes see, like, you know, as our parents or authority or a work relationship of somebody that we're supposed to honor, and it may be a challenge at times, we may be looking at them and saying, Lord, how do you want me to honor them? And seeing them the way that God sees them is the key. And you might be saying, but Lord, it is really hard to honor this person. It's hard to honor this person. Well, God tells us to honor our authority. So let me ask you, who put that authority in your life? Who designed your birth order? Who designed these things? God did. And whenever you can honor them, then God's saying, thank you. You're honoring me by honoring them. When we honor those that God's called us to honor, we are honoring him. He is able to receive honor by us honoring others. We can give honor and we can be able to receive that. I mean, then Jesus is able to receive the honor given because he's the one that designed it. He's the one that put it in place. So let's start giving honor to those that is due. So who is it due to? Everyone. But there are some people that you're gonna realize, Lord, I need to give more honor to these people. I've been bitter, I've been this, something's been in the way. Lord, give me the eyes to see. Give me the way that you see them. Give me perspective. You know, I want to honor Landon and Heather. You guys have led so well. Thank you for putting such an emphasis on your time with God so that it can, that time with God can bleed in through all these people. You are teaching people. Thank you for your passion and your heart for Fort Worth. Thank you for the way you lead your family. Thank you for the way you lead the people. Thank you for loving. Thank you for recognizing people that others looked over. Thank you for that. I want to honor all of you. Thank you for allowing God to work through you to make a difference. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing God to speak to you on a daily basis. When I think about you guys, I rejoice. I rejoice with what God's doing here in this place. It is amazing. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. I want us to all take a moment, just close your eyes, just you and the Holy Spirit, and say, Lord, who do I need to honor? Lord, is there somebody I need to change the way I've interacted with? Is there somebody I need to change the way, the words that I've used? Lord, highlight to me, who is it that I need to give a double portion of honor to? Lord, reveal that person to me. Lord, help me to see them the way that you see them. Lord, I don't want to just see them in the natural. I don't want to just see them for their flaws, but Lord, I want to see what you see in them. Lord, reveal that to me so that I can truly honor those that you've called me to honor. Lord, thank you. Thank you for creating that individual. Thank you for what you're doing in that individual. Lord, we love you so much. You have designed the principle of honor. And Lord, I pray that we will never be the type of people that go after flattery. I pray that we will always be able to speak truth in love. And by doing that, we can honor people. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.